We're getting the current daf Masechet Ksubos daf Lamed Beis. Begin on the bottom of daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, five lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. The Mishnah again spoke about three different chidushim, novelties, and halacha of knas when the woman is violated by a man. That the third category was a chidush, in that is there are certain women that although they are arayis by the punishment of karas, however, if a man violates such a woman, he will have to pay to her, to her father, these 50 silver coins. Now, on that, the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah that said, these cases, if someone cohabits with his sister, or or with his father's sister, and so on, it says all the cases in the Mishnah. Again, as we explained, although that they are punishment of karas, however, there will still be a liability of a knas. Now, then the Gemara poses the following contradiction. We learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Makis that says, Eluhin halaykin. These are the women that if a man cohabits with them, that if he's warned beforehand, he gets lashes for having be with them. And they are same exact cases as our Mishnah speaks about. Haba alochais, so if someone has cohabitation with his sister, v'alochais aviv, or his father's sister, v'alochais imoy, or his mother's sister, v'alochais ishtay, or his wife's sister, v'alochais achiv, or his brother's wife, v'alochais achi aviv, or his father's brother's wife, or v'alanida, or a menstruating woman, where all these are women that are chiv, increases, are arayas by the punishment of karas for man to have be with. So the Mishnah there says that if one does have bia, one will have the punishment of malchus, of lashes, if he's warned about this before it. Now, in that, the Gemara continues at the top of Lamed Beis and Alpha and asks, but v'kaimelon, we know that there's a halacha that tells us the ein loiko umishal. A person cannot get lashes and pay a monetary payment. And that is because, as Rashi brings, as the Gemara later on will explain, that's learned from the pasuk of kedei rishasa, that a person has to be punished according to his punishment, which is in the singular, which tells us that you could only punish someone and make him liable for one punishment, but you cannot hold them liable to two punishments, to two penalties. Now, so then the question is, these same women, if a man has beer with them, what is the penalty? Is it going to be lashes, as the Mishnah says in Mitzvot Makis, or is it going to be a financial payment of knas, as our Mishnah says in the beginning of this paragraph, Daf Chavtes? It can't be both because it says Kedei Rishasa, you only get one. So which one is it? Is it Lamalkis like the Mishnah says in Masechtas Makis, or is it Tashlumen like our Mishnah says? So the first answer the Gemara brings is from Amar Ula. Ula says, Loi Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Khan, our Mishnah is speaking about Ba'achisai Nara, it's his sister. But moreover, the qualification of it is that she's a Nara, which is approximately from the age of 12 to 12 and a half. We're there, as we explained in our Mishnah, that's the age when there is a knas. If someone has bia with any woman against her will, that he violates her. Now, therefore, what we see from Ula is because he holds that you pay the money and you don't get lashes. So therefore, in this situation where there's going to be money and lashes, and again, as the Gemara is explaining, the case of money is only when she's a nara. If she's a katana, then she's too young. If she's a beger, she's already too old. So our Mishnah told Mara's sister that's a nara. So yes, although she's an Erev and Chiva Krisis, that doesn't bother us in regards to the financial obligation of the penalty of Knas. But however, the fact that there can also be lashes, when you have a choice between the two of them, you're going to pay money and not lashes. But Khan, over here in the Mishnah Masechtas Makis, which tells us that you get Malkis and you don't pay the Knas, is talking about his sister, but she's already over the age of 12 and a half, where regarding the Lachas of Knas, you need to have a Nara. Now, however, the Gemara asks the following question: that achisay begeres nami ha'ika b'ishes begam. The Gemara says, you're right, regarding the knas, that you need to have the age of 12 and 12 and a half, which is when the woman brings two sires for the next 6 months. So that is, we could answer that, fine, when there's a choice of tashlumin and malchus, you get tashlumin like our Mishnah says and not malchus. And you're saying that the case of Mishnah Masechtas Makis, that you're getting malchus, is talking about when there is no knas, because she's already over 12 and a half. But the Gemara is asking, that qualification is only for knas. But anytime someone hurts somebody, there's another element of baishas, which is the embarrassment that was caused. A woman that was raped, that was violated, there's a certain amount of embarrassment, which that's a monetary payment for any woman. And there's also the element of what's called pagam, which is that creates a deficiency in the woman, where we evaluate that as if she was a maidservant being sold in the marketplace. And we evaluate how much of that value would have gone down if someone would have wanted to purchase such a maidservant for his slave, where that the master has a certain pleasure with the servant enjoying a besula, Now she gets downgraded because she was violated. Now she's not a basula anymore. Now the question is, a begeris has both of these elements of baishas begam. So you're really back to the question. You answered the element of knas. Fine, by begeris is no knas, because that's only for a woman that's a nara in regards to her basulim. But anytime a woman is violated, there's going to be baishas begam. So you have a monetary obligation and you have a penalty of lashes. So why is the Mishnah Masechtas Makkah say you get lashes if you're also going to have a monetary payment? And as we're explaining according to Ula, where as he explains our Mishnah Masechtas Ksubis, when you have Teshlumin, when there's a monetary penalty and or a payment, and there's lashes, you go for payment. So why does it say you get lashes? So Gemara answers that question saying it's not a difficulty because B'shaita, the Mishnah there in Masechtas Makkah is talking about where the woman is a deranged woman, mentally deranged woman, where there's no embarrassment because she doesn't even understand what's happening to her. And there's also no devaluation of her monetary value as if she was a maidservant because no one's buying such a maidservant. That's a mentally deranged woman. And therefore, there's no baishas and there's no pagam. But the Gemara asks, there's, as we'll see later, there's a concept called chamisha devarim. When you damage a person, there's a few different variables. And therefore, fine. So there's no knas because that's unique to the parasha of einis, which again is only by Nara, so you're saying that she's already begeres. You're saying there's no Baishas begam because she's a shaita. But for ikud tzara, there's pain, as we learn in the Mishnah later on, which tells us that when a woman is seduced, so then you have to give Baishas, the embarrassment that the woman had when she was seduced, the begam, now that she's devalued, now that this woman, in regards to the getting the payment, if she was sold as a maidservant, she would have been going down, that she doesn't have Besulim anymore, that she lost her virginity. And there's the knas, which everyone that's mafata woman has to give a knas. Now, adding on to that is the ma'anis, when someone forcibly violates a woman, where he has to give the pain. There's actual physical pain. There's a lot of different pains that come into that when a woman is violated. So even if she's a shaita, she's still getting pain. There's a monetary factor here. So why is there lashes if there's a monetary factor here? So Gemara answers that question, saying that b'mafuta. The Mishnah Masechtas Makkos is not only talking about that she's a begeris, not a naira, therefore there's no knas. And she's also a shaita, therefore there's no baishas to begam, but additionally she was seduced. Now, as the Gemara later on explains, the Daflam Tesma Beis, that the intelligent women of the professionals know that a woman that's seduced doesn't have any pain. And therefore, she's not awarded any pain because the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos is talking about that she's a mafuta, she was seduced, she wasn't a case of einus, she wasn't forcibly violated. Now the Gemara says, okay, hashad aslachi, now that since you had to formulate that case in Masechtas Makkos to work out Ula's interpretation of resolving this contradiction, that it was told that she was a mafuta, she was seduced, then you could even say that it could be talking about more similar case to our Mishnah here. Not to say that she was a begeris. It could even be talking about that she was a nara. But then if she's a nara, so what happens with the knas? The knas should say that, like our Mishnah says, that you give the monetary payment and not the lashes. The reason is because it's talking about biyaseima. It's talking about that she was an orphan where her knas and her baishas and her pagam goes to herself. So you don't have to be talking about neither a begeris, and neither do you have to be talking about a shaita. The reason being is because umefuta. You said we're talking about a case where she was seduced. Now, since everything's going to her, because she has no father, she's an orphan, so therefore there's no monetary payment here whatsoever. And the reason is because a mefuta, if she's seduced, that means to say that he appeased her, whatever it is, but she willingly did it. And therefore, she was forgiving for whatever financial obligations were incurred by him to her because she was agreeing to engage in that act. The father can go ahead and collect it because he wasn't agreeing to that, although his daughter may have been. But if she's an orphan and she's mafuta, she's seduced, so therefore there's no problem about the knas, there's no problem about the baish, there's no problem about gam, because all the monetary payments that he has to give to her, she's saying, don't worry, I want to engage in this. He seduced her. So she was willing, and therefore you could even say that it's not even regarding those two different variables of the case conceptualization of begeris and shaita. Once you already said it has to be told that she's mafuta, it could just be saying that she's yisema and mafuta, and therefore there'll be no monetary payments, and therefore we're back to that there's only lashes. That's why the Mishnah there in Masechtas Makkos says that you get lashes, whereas our Mishnah, which is told about a case when you have both, you do the monetary payment of the knas, like our Mishnah says, and not the lashes. Now, the Gemara infers, as we've been alluding to this all along, Alma Ksaver Ula, one thing we could see from the way Ula resolved the Mishnah Masechtas Makos that says that you get lashes, that is tomad by Begeres, and he didn't say seemingly a simpler resolution that between our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is talking about when there was no Hasra. You cannot get lashes without Hasra. You have to get a warning beforehand. Monetary payment, you damage, you pay. But for lashes, you have to be warned. So he could have just said, to answer the question, says, what's the difficulty? That Mishnah is told me when you get Hasra, so although that there was a monetary payment, not Begeres, Naira, and not that she was seduced, same case as our Mishnah. But since there's lashes, you get lashes. Our Mishnah, why don't you get lashes and do the monetary payment? Because there was no warning. Now, he didn't say that. So obviously, you could infer from Ula that even had there been Hasra, even though that in our Mishnah there had been a warning, that kol hecha deka mamin amalkis, whenever that you have both penalties, that of a monetary obligation and of that of lashes, memoyin mishal mukler laki, obviously Ula holds that no, you pay the money and you don't get the lashes, and that's how he explains the case of our Mishnah. So because he had that difficulty, he had to explain, so the Mishnah Masechtas Makos is talking about that there must be no monetary payment. And that's why he'll get lashes. But if there had been, then it would be like our Mishnah, that there's money and not lashes. Because if he held that the other way around, he could have just said simply that when there's lashes and money, then it's lashes like the Mishnah there says. But our Mishnah is talking about that there's no lashes because there was no warning. Obviously, he doesn't hold like that. Obviously, he holds that the primary becomes the money and not the lashes. Now, that the Gemara asks, Menolei la'alahu, where does Ula know this idea from, that when you have a choice of these two punishments, that the money will take precedence and you won't get lashes? So that the Gemara answers, Gamer mechevel bechaveh. He learns it out from the halacha of when a person inflicts a wound on his friend. And that is as follows. Machevel bechaveh, just like when someone hurts somebody else, where there there's two penalties imposed upon the person of money and lashes. Where there's lashes is because of what the Torah says in the Varm Chafei Lo Yosef, which tells us in the context of Bezdin cannot give more than the appropriate lashes, which is 39. If you do more, then you're violating this prohibition, which anybody hurting his friend is violating that prohibition of giving more than the person is supposed to get. So therefore, there's a negative prohibition which you incur if you hurt someone else, that of lashes. And there's also monetary payment, as the Pasuk says in Mishnah Chavalev, Shifta Yitin, which is the parasha of Chavil B'Chavei, which of all the penalties that are levied against the person when he harms someone, which are financial obligations. Now, just like we find Chavil B'Chavei, which has both of these elements, Memayin Mishal Mil Kaloi Laki, that you pay the money and you don't get the lashes, even if you were warned regarding that negative prohibition, still the Gemara will show us on the end of Amud Beis explicitly that there's going to be a tashlum and a monetary obligation, and you will not get that, and not that of lashes. So therefore you could compare it to wherever there's a monetary obligation and that of lashes. For example, like the case we're discussing in our Mishnah of Achayse Nara, where although there's lashes because it's that of an erva, that there's also a monetary obligation of the knas of someone that's honest, a woman. You're going to choose tashlumin and not that of malchus. And therefore, Ula had to go ahead and find a way of explaining the Mishnah Masechtas Makos that you're getting Malkus must be that there's no monetary obligation. Because if it is, then like our Mishnah, you're going to pay the knas and not get the lashes. Now, the Gemara asks from this limud, from this inference, and that is, how could you learn out from this halacha when someone inflicts a wound on his friend? Where there, it makes sense that if you have a choice between two penalties of money and lashes, that you should get the halacha of monetary obligations, because there the monetary obligation is more severe than lashes. And the reason is because it has another stringency. How so? Shekin chayiv b'chamisha dvarim, when one inflicts a wound in his friend, when he harms someone, there's a high requirement of monetary obligations. There's actually five different obligations. What's called nezek, which is the actual damage you have to pay for. There's the tzar, the pain that the person went through. There's ripui, which are the doctor bills of healing him. There's shevis, you have to pay for the amount of work that he lost. And there's baishas, which is the embarrassment the person incurred. So there's five types of payments. There makes sense that, yes, we're going to want to give him the more severe penalty of the money and not that of lashes. How can you compare it to everywhere else? Who said there that we're going to go for money over lashes? Maybe lashes is the more severe one. Maybe that's the more appropriate one in other halachas. Now, the Gemara says, and even if v'imamayin l'kula, now, even if you're going to say that actually a monetary penalty is more lenient than lashes. Now, and therefore, that means to say that the response that the Gemara was saying that why you can't learn off Mechev HaVer is not a response, because actually that would actually make it a kol shekein. In other words, we would say that if we find Mechev HaVer, which is very stringent, a monetary payment, that you have to have five penalties, still you're going to get the more lenient of the two punishments, which is still financial obligations. No one wants to go through lashes, that maybe that's the more severe one, which would make it a kavah chimer to other monetary obligations, which are even more lenient, that they don't have chamish dvarim. All the more so they should get the more lenient punishment of money. And then the Gemara says, you could still ask and say that you still cannot compare. In other words, the Gemara first saying that if the monetary obligation is the more severe, well, you can't learn off Mechev B'Chaver because that's more severe and that it gets chamish dvarim. Maybe there it's going to get the more severe one. And then the Gemara says, even if you're going to say that a monetary obligation is more lenient than lashes, you still can't learn off Mechev B'Chaver because Mechev B'Chaver itself has a leniency that other things don't have. Maybe that's what gets the more lenient of monetary punishment. Shekin huter mechlal bevesdin, because we find that the violation of hurting somebody actually has a leniency that it's totally permitted in the Bezdin because it was given permission to the courts to give lashes to somebody else. So there is an element of it which is totally permitted. So therefore, how could you say regarding other monetary obligations, for example, of knas, when someone is ma'anas a woman or seduces a woman, where that's never permitted even in Bezdin, who would say over there that you'd get the more lenient punishment than of tashlumen? And therefore, either way you look at it, you can't really learn out from Chayv B'Chaveir because it has a stringency. Maybe therefore it's getting money, which is more stringent. And it also has a leniency. Maybe therefore it's getting the more lenient one of money to be as a leniency. So either one, we're not sure if money is a stringency or a leniency. Either one, you can't learn from Chayv B'Chaveir because it has a stringency and a leniency. So the Gemara says, okay, Elagumah me'edim zeimet. So we'll learn from somewhere else. We'll learn out, which as Rashi explains, is what's called a mamatin, meaning just like we find over there, we'll say the same thing over here, which is the halacha of Edim Zayman. Which Edim Zayman is when there's two witnesses say testimony regarding something, or regarding someone that did a violation, or that he owes someone money, and two witnesses go ahead and create the halacha. Then two other witnesses come along and say, how could you have said that? Well, you were with us. And if you were with us, you couldn't have seen that or known that. Now, the halacha of Edim Zayman is that they actually get what they tried doing to that person. So whatever violation they tried doing to that person, they get that own punishment themselves. That's what the Gemara says. Ma eid mezaymin de ikka mamen, just like by the eid mezaymin, which are the witnesses which are refuted in a specific type of a way, where there's a monetary obligation, which is what's called kasha zama, which is what they wanted to do to somebody else, what they plotted, gets then done to themselves. So if they tried having someone else should have to pay $1,000 penalty, they get then the $1,000 penalty. So there is a monetary element in certain contexts of Edom Zayman. Umalkis, and in every context of Edom Zayman, there's also a negative prohibition in the Torah of Loisana Bereicha Ed Shaki. Now let's say false testimony, which obviously Edom Zayman are violating because they obviously said a lie, which a negative prohibition gives you lashes. So you have both elements by Edom Zayman. You have Mammon and Malkis. And yet, Mamaydim Mishalim, as the Gemara later will explain, Mamaydim Zayman, you pay the money, and Milkalai Lucky, you don't get the lashes. So therefore we could say, just like we find over there, Sa'av Kol Hechadik, Mamaydim Malkas, so to anywhere where you have a monetary obligation and that of lashes, for example, like the halacha that we're discussing over here, Abachay Senara, where there's Malkas and his Mamaydim, Mamaydim Mishalim, Milkalai Lucky, that's what Ula said, that our Mishnah says, you give the knas, you pay the money, and you don't get the lashes. And the Mishnah, Mesechtas Makis, has to be told in a case when there's obviously no monetary obligation, and that's why you'll only get lashes. But again, the Gemara asks, how can you learn that from Edom Zayman? Mala Edom Zayman, we find by Edom Zayman, Shekein Einan Tzrich Masra, that they're very stringent, that halach of Edom Zayman, where they don't need to be warned beforehand. And they can be punished with death, lashes, money, where generally, if a person to have those type of punishments has to be warned beforehand. Now, Be'edim Zoyman, obviously you can't be warned because it only happens after he says false testimony and the Torah says someone else refutes them, they get that same thing. So it makes sense that they should get the more severe punishment when there's a choice of two. So therefore they'll get the more severe one of money. But how could you say that anywhere else which doesn't have that stringency? Now, again, the Gemara says, V'imamayin l'kulahu, and if a monetary obligation is more of a leniency, well, then we find a certain leniency by Edom Zayman that we don't find anywhere else, and therefore it makes sense that they should get the more lenient punishment of money. Shekein lo asu maisa, where they didn't do any action. All they did was they just said words. They didn't do an action. And therefore, since it was a lesser type of an evil that they did, which it didn't actively hurt somebody, they just used words. Therefore, it makes sense they'll get the more lenient punishment of mamet. But who said everywhere else that when you have a choice of two, that they're going to get the more lenient one of money when a person does an action? For example, over here by a knas, where someone violated a woman, where he did an action, maybe there they'll get the more severe one of lashes. So the Gemara says, you're right, you can't learn out from Chayvul B'Chaver, neither can you learn out from Eitim Zayman. But Elagam and Metavayr, so let's learn from both of them. Now, as Rashi explains, if you're going to ask the question by saying, wait a second, how can you learn out from Chayvul B'Chaver, where there it's more severe because it has Chamish Advarim, well then we'll say Eitim Zayman Yechichu. Eitim Zayman will disprove that element because it doesn't have that stringency and still you pay money and you don't get lashes. And if you're going to say, how can you learn from Eitim Zayman, where there you don't need Hasra, well, then Chayvul B'Chaver will disprove that because that does need Hasra. And that's what's called V'Chazra. Then it goes back and forth. And the conclusion is, Ma Hatzara Shavah Shabahen, if we find the common denominator between Chayvul B'Chaver and Eitim Zayman, Deika Mamon HaMalkus, where there's money obligation and there's lashes, Mamayin Mishal Milka Leilaki, that you pay the money, you don't get lashes, Safkal Hecha Deika Mamon HaMalkus, wherever there's money and lashes, Mamayin Mishal Milka Leilaki, you pay the money and you don't get the lashes. And that is Ula source for this, for his halacha, to the way he resolves the contradiction of the two Mishnahs, where when there's a choice between the two of them, as our Mishnah, then you get money, you pay the knas, and you don't get the lashes. But the Gemara asks on this limud still, Mal ha'tzara shavah shebehen. You still can't learn that even from the two of them, because by both of them, shekein yesh ben tzad chomer, each one has an element of astringency, where, yes, they're different ones, but they're still astringent, and therefore, since they're astringent, they'll get the astringency of money. And if money is a leniency, there is at least some element of leniency in either one of them. So maybe there the halacha will be, they'll get the more lenient one. But how could you compare it to everywhere else which doesn't have those stringencies or any stringencies or those leniencies? And therefore back to the question, how do you know, how does Ula know to say that when you have the choice of two of them, in general, like in the context of our halacha of Einis, when a woman was forcibly violated, that you pay the money, the knas, and not the lashes? So the Gemara continues Amud Beis and says, Ella, rather, Ula tachas tachas gama. Ula learns out from a gezeirah shava. Now, although he's going to be learning out from a chayvah b'chaveira again, but a gezeirah shava is when there's has the same words in those two parashias, where especially when it's mufna, what's called that the words are superfluous, with halach is lemeidin ve'emeshiv. And then you learn the gezeirah shava and you can't ask questions. Although that we could say, wait a second, that has a stringency. Maybe there you say that and not here. Gzeirah Shava, when it has the same words and they're extra, telling us that we should learn one from the other, then we don't have questions. Even if there's questions, it doesn't refute the Gzeirah Shava. And therefore, Ksiv Ach, it says over here in Parshat Devarim, it says in Devarim Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Tes, it says in the Parsha of Einis, V'nasna Ish HaSheikh Vima, that the man who laid with this woman Gizla, V'hanarach HaMishim Kesel, Gizla, the father of the maiden, 50 silver coins, v'leisi le'isha, and for him, she should be a wife. And the reason for this is because tachas asha'ina, because in place of this that he had afflicted her. So we use the word tachas in the parasha of Einis. Ksev Hasim, it says over there in Sefer Shemais, ayin tachas ayin, when someone hurts someone else. So then, there's an eye in place of an eye. And therefore we say, ma hasim amayin mishal milka lelaki, just like over there, where when one hurts somebody else, there's a monetary obligation, and there's a lashes, and the halacha is that, as the Torah tells us, that it's monetary obligation, and you don't get lashes. So just like over here, where we're comparing it to a different parasha of Einis, wherever there is mamon and malkus, mamon and mishalom, look lucky. You pay the money, and you don't get the lashes. And therefore, that's the source for Ula, where we see from a gezeirah shava, that not only over there, but even like regarding the case of here of Einis, that you'll pay the money and you won't get the lashes, and that's why the Mishnah Masechtas Malkus had to be talking about a case when there's obviously no monetary obligation, and then you'll get lashes. Now, the Gemara moves on to a second interpretation to resolve this contradiction of the Mishnah Masechtas Malkus and our Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas. And actually, it's going to be the inverse of Ula's Shita, as we just explained. Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Afilatema, you could even say that the Mishnah Masechtas Malkus is talking about Chitzei Nara, not the way the first interpretation of Ula had said it. That has to be talking about Begeris. Because if it's a Nara, he said, then you run into the problem, then you have the Knas. And if you have both, then you can't get lashes. So he said it's talking about Bageris. And then we said Bageris and the Shaita. That was one interpretation. Another one was says, you don't have to say Bageris, it can be talking about Mefuta. But Rebbe Chanan is responding to the first version of Bula. He says you could even be talking about that it's his sister that's a Nara. Now, however, Kan Shehisraboy, the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos Toma, when the guy was warned before he violated his sister that's a Nara, where then there's a punishment of Mammon, which is for any case of Ma'anis, and there's a punishment of Malkus because she's an erva of his sister. Now, on that, the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos is teaching us that you get Malkus and you don't pay the money. But Kan, our Mishnah Masechtas Ksubis Toma, Shaloi Hisraboy, where the guy wasn't warned beforehand. So therefore there's no Malkus, there's only monetary obligation. That's why you get the Knas. So the Gemara says, what you could see that Rabbi Yechon holds is obviously not like Ula. And he holds, wherever there's a monetary obligation, which is for any man that violates a woman that's a Naira, which is what these two Mishnais are talking about, and when there's a punishment of Malkus, which is because they're both talking about the sisters, these are Chiva creases with his lashes, and the person gets warned beforehand, Milkalaki Mimonula Mishalam, you actually get lashes and you don't pay the monetary obligation. That's why the Mishnah Masechtas Malkus makes sense, where therefore you get lashes, you don't pay the money. But what Rabbi Yochanan had to say is that our Mishnah has to be talking about that obviously you were not warned. If you weren't warned, so then you can't get lashes. So you're only left with money, and then you'll pay the money. But if there's a choice between the two of them, it's actually lashes, not money, not like Ula, who just, we proved in Amud Aleph, that there's money and not lashes. Now the Gemara asks, Manola Rabbi Yochanan, so what does Rabbi Yochanan know his opinion, his shita, that it's lashes, not money? So the Gemara says, Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, it says in Devarim Chafei Pasuk Beis, it says, V'hoyi im bin ha-kaisa rosha, that's going to be that if they're going to give lashes to the wicked person, V'pilo ha-shoifit, that then the judge, the one who enforces this, pushes him down, V'ko lefanov, and they give him lashes in front of him, Kidei rishasa, according to his wickedness. Now, that's written in the singular, according to his wickedness, not wickednesses, it's written in the singular. And therefore, the drasha is, Mishem risha achasat machayva, according to one wickedness, you make him liable. You cannot create a liability in a person for two things wrong that he did. You can only punish him for one. Now that's as we said in the beginning of this sugya. Now the question is, so which one is that? Now that Rabbi Yechanan says, now on that the Pasuk says right after that, Arbom Yakenu, that you give him 40 lashes, which is minus one, which is 39 lashes, where when the person does two things wrong, what's the one thing you do with him? Is Haka, is Malkus, is lashes. And that's Rabbi Yechanan's source. When you have a choice of both, it's lashes, not money, not like Ulu, who says that it's money, not lashes. But the Gemara asks, but the Ula had a point. As he learned it out, there's a case of when someone inflicts a wound on his friend, Dika, Mamun, and Malkus, where there you see that there's money and lashes, Mamayna, Mishal, Milkalir, Laki, you just proved from Kedei Rishasai, and it says, Arbam Yakenu, that you get lashes and not pay money. How is it that the halach is by chavir b'chavir that you pay money and you don't get lashes? Now the Gemara says, and if you're going to say hanamili hechdul asrbei, that when did we say that you are required to pay these five chamisha dvarim, let's say, by chavir b'chavir, that this monetary obligation is only when the guy wasn't warned beforehand, don't hit this person. Aval asrbei milkalaki mimonu lemeshalim, but if he was warned beforehand, he actually only gets lashes of lo yosef, of hitting somebody, and he actually will not pay the five penalties of chavir b'chaveroi. But the Gemara says you can't say that, and especially not even in Rabbi Yechanan, who are trying to explain, because Rabbi himself says the name Rabbi Yechanan, he called hakosh ima shava pruta loika. Rabbi Yechanan said that when someone hits his friend for a type of damage that's less than a prut is worth, which is the lowest denomination of a coin, then the halacha is going to be that the person who hit his friend will get lashes. So the Gemara explains, hey Chedami, what is that halacha of Rabbi Yechanan talking about? If he wasn't warned beforehand, well then my loika, why would he get lashes? You can't get lashes unless there's a hasra warning beforehand. El b'shita asrbe, obviously it's talking about where he was warned beforehand, don't hit this guy. Now, what you can infer from that is the time of the less b'shavapruta, when is Rabbi Yechanan saying you would get lashes? When there's no shavapruta, there's no monetary obligation to be liable for because it's lower than the lowest denomination of any coin, of any currency. So then there's no monetary payment, then you'll have lashes. But what sounds like regarding the halacha of chayv b'chaveroi, that if there is a monetary violation of at least a shava pruta, of worth a pruta, that you pay the money and you don't get lashes, that contradicts what Rabbi Yochanan himself, we just explained, that he learns out when kedei rishasa is arba miyakenu, when you have a choice of both, then you get lashes and not money. So the Gemara explains, k'damar Rabbi Loi. We could borrow what Rabbi Loi had said for a different context, which will actually answer another question that we have, and then we could use it for the halacha of chayv b'chaver. Rabbi Loi says, "Befeirish ribsa Torah." The Torah explicitly includes, which the Gemara will shortly explain what that source is, of edim zaymin l'tashlumin. That although edim zaymin, when these witnesses were refuted in the process of hazama, that they, although they violated leisana b'recha eid shaka, which is a punishment of lashes, and there's also kashazam, which is a punishment of money, the Torah explicitly tells you that you're going to pay the money and not the lashes. So we can answer that you're right. When there's a choice of two, Rabbi Yochanan says it's going to be lashes, not money. But although by Eid and Zayman, and the Gemara is comparing two for Chayv B'Chaver, that you have both those elements too, the Torah explicitly tells you that here it's not like the normative, that here will be the money and not the lashes. Now the Gemara first asks, where is this halacha of Rabbi Loi regarding Eid and Zayman that we see that the Torah says explicitly that you'll get the money and not the lashes? So how it's going on the Mishnah Masechtas Makis. The Mishnah there says, Me'idin anu es ish plenyev. If two witnesses say that we testify regarding this man, shechayv l'chaver masayim zuz, he is liable to his friend 200 zuz. V'nim tzu Zayman, turns out they're lying, they were never even there. So the halacha is, Leikin u'mishamen. They get lashes and they pay the money. And the reason is, Shaloi Hashem ha-mevi'in l'dei makas, which is that the pasuk that mandates them getting the punishment of lashes is not the same pasuk that's mevi'in l'dei tashlumen, that brings them to a requirement of paying this money, what happens with Hazam. And the reason is, because Malkas is learned out from Loisana. Tashlumin is learned out from Kasha Zamam. Now, since they're what's called two shemas, two different psukim, so then yes, you'll be liable for both. When one action requires two punishments, then Kedei Rishasa, you say, only get one. But you think if you violate one nisur in your life, you're only going to get that one punishment? No. It's even though it's happening at the same time, but the two different nisurim, that as the Mishnah there says, is Divrei Meir. Meir holds that you're going to be liable for both because they're coming from two different psukim. So you'll be liable for the Tashlumin and for the Malkas. Chachamim, they argue, they say that no, kalam ashalam ain't a leika, that if you're violating one isser, which is hazam, you did an isser of saying false witness or false testimony, and then you were huzam, so then you get only tashlumen and not malkas, because kalam ashalam ain't a leika, if you're paying, then you're not getting lashes. Now that the question was, regarding what the Chacham just said, v'neima kalal leika ain't a mashalam, let them say, whoever gets lashes doesn't pay. In other words, let them get the punishment of lashes. What's so obvious to the Chachamim that regarding the punishment of Edom Zayman that they get Tashlumin and not Malkus, meaning yes, we understand that they hold you gaining one, not two. But why do they say that the obvious one is the Tashlumin and not Malkus? On that, Amar Rabbi Loi, this is the Rabbi Loi that we were quoting, that he says, Befeirish Rabbi Satayr Edom Zayman leTashlumin. Because explicitly the Torah tells you that what are you going to get the punishment for Edom Zayman? It's going to be the monetary payment and not the lashes. Hechen rips the Torah. Where is it that Torah explicitly includes them for Tashlumen and not Malkus? Mechti, let's see. Ksiv, it says the pasuk in Devarim, Vasisim like Kasha Zamim Lasis Lachav. It says regarding these false witnesses that you should do to him as he plotted to do to his brother. And he punished them exactly what they tried punishing that person that they had been saying testimony regarding. And the question then becomes, Yad b'yad, with the pasuk right after that says, Leisochas Eincha, don't have mercy on this person, nefesh b'nefesh, it's life for a life, yad b'yad, a hand for hand, lama li, why do you need this? Well, we already said that what he tried doing to his friend, you do back to him. So why say another pasuk of saying that what was within his hand is now for their hand? So that the Gemara explains is coming to tell you the following drasha. Davar hanita miyad li yad. What is this that Kasha Zamam tells you that you do to the witnesses? Is something that's given from hand to hand. What's given from hand to hand that we're punishing him? That's mammon. That's money. Money is something that's given from hand to hand. That's how people pay. That's the currency that circulates. That's what the pasuk is coming to tell you with yad b'yad. And therefore we have explicit rebuke by Edom Zayman that although there's a choice of both, of lashes and of monetary payment. And moreover, Rabbi Yochanan says that generally, Abraham Yakenu tells us that you usually get malchus and not monetary payment. But here the Pasuk is telling us explicitly, Rabbi Lo is telling us, for Edom Zayman, that Yad B'Yad is going to be mammon and not malchus. Now that the Gemara says, and this is what we're comparing to what we're answering for our question, Chayva B'Chaver Nami, same thing applies that Beferish Rips the Torah, for when someone inflicts a wound to his friend, that the punishment will be Tashlumen and not malchus, but that doesn't refer to Rabbi Yochanan because generally it will be malchus, not Tashlumen. But here the Torah explicitly tells us that it'll be Tashlumen, not malchus. How do we see this? Because Mechtletzik Siv says a pasuk in Vayikra, that's Perkhov Dal Pasuk Yotest, that says V'ish Kiitin Mumba Misa, that if a man will inflict a wound in his friend, so Kasher Asa Kenya Asa Loi, like he did to him, that's what's going to be done to him. Now the pasuk after that tells us Kasher Yitin Mumba Adam, like when a person inflicts a wound, a blemish in a person, so Kenya Asa Boy, so too will be given to him. Question is Lamali. That also seems redundant. We already just said it in the previous pasuk. What's the point of repeating Keni Nosen Boy Soto will be given to him? That's coming to tell you the same type of a drasha. And this is the Beferish Rib Satira. Davar Shiesh by Nesina. We're talking about a type of a punishment for Chavi B'Chaveri, something that can be given over. What does that mean? Umay Niyu, that is Momen. That's talking about money. That's the punishment that will be meted out to the Chavi B'Chaveri, which are the Chamisha Dvarim, Nezik Tar, Ripri, Shevis, Baishas. Although there's a possibility of also of Malkus, and you only get one of Kedir Shasai, and although generally it's Malkus, not Mammon, here the Torah explicitly tells us, both in the context of Edom Zayman and the Chayvei B'Chaveri, that it's going to be Tashlumin and not Malkus.